And turn to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 24. I'm listening for pages to stop, so. All right. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So in introduction, for if anybody's taking notes, this is titled Obtaining the Prize. So for introduction here, Paul alludes to Grecian games, right? Talks about running a race, competing in a race, fighting, striving. We can see here that I'm going to make parallels between Christians and athletes. All right. So he observes there that there are these principles common to both athletes and Christians. One, a need for motivation. Two, a need for self-control. And three, a need to exercise. These are necessary to obtain the price. The Greek word for obtain is translated as to, and I'm going to mess this up for sure, kata alambano, which means to apprehend, obtain, or find. It's an allusion, that's with an A, to the public games to obtain the prize with the idea of an eager and strenuous exertion to grasp or seize upon. So to start, whether one is an athlete or a Christian, there are three things we need to obtaining the prize. The importance of motivation. I'm sorry? Am I going too fast? Oh, I'm so sorry. Sit. You know what? If I have to stand, you have to stand. I apologize. I just got right into it. All right, so the first thing is the importance of motivation. So in the life of an athlete, proper motivation is necessary to win, right? Few people put in a solid, good effort without the proper motivation. So different motives make a difference in a race. Some are motivated to win. Some people, do things for their health. And then there's some people just do it because they want to do it, and they don't care if they win or not. They're just in for it for the enjoyment, right? A successful athlete is motivated, usually, typically, you look at Olympic athletes, you're talking gold medals, wreaths, in high school you're looking for the patches, the letters for your jacket and stuff like that, or maybe your pictures on a wall in the paper or something like that. So we can see that in 1 Corinthians 9:25, the bottom half of it, that they do it for a perishable crown, right? A corruptible crown. It's not going to last. It's just here for now. It's great to have, but in 10 years, unless it's your mom, nobody's probably going to remember, right? It represents fame and glory, and that motivates athletes to excel, but it's for the now, right? It's not for what lies ahead. So comparing that to a Christian should have the proper motivation necessary to win, but for win for things, not of this world, right? So the different motivations can make a big difference for Christians. Some Christians are in it to please their conscience. Sometimes it's to please others, right? Sometimes we're pretty vain about things of this world. Some Christians you know, do it, motivation to present blessings, peace of mind, fellowship. Sometimes they're motivated to have their place, or some motives may have their place in the life of a Christian, but sometimes affected by the world. But a successful Christian is motivated by what lies at the end of the race. So we see in 1 Corinthians 9:25, an incorruptible crown, right? It's going to last forever. It's laid up there. We can then lay them at Jesus' feet. You know, it's something that's going to last forever. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We see that a crown of righteousness, which Paul talked about being a motivation. There's also other incorruptible inheritances that await us. So 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, wrong way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then 2 Peter, we'll see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And just as, and then also, just a Christian, also as Jesus endured the cross, so Hebrews chapter 12, I don't have enough ribbons in here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hold on, am I in the right spot? 2 Peter? I am, yep. Witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What motivates you as a Christian? Running the race of faith? Is it obtaining the prize at the end? If so, then you should also take note of the importance of self-control. Now, this is really important to an athlete. Successful athletes are temperate in all things, alluding back to our 1 Corinthians 9:25. They exercise self-control in many ways. How many people played sports? I'm sure, right? I don't look like it, but I used to be quite an athlete. But, you know, there are so many things that were important as an athlete. You know, you think about what you're eating, how you're fueling your body. Are you getting the right amount of sleep? You know, following training schedules or workouts with your team or by yourself. And then, I mean, you think about it as athletes. Athletes sacrifice a lot of other things, too, socially. They don't hang out with their friends maybe as much because it's important that they practice, they prepare, and they sleep. Self-control means doing it even when it doesn't feel like it. Lance Armstrong once said, when it's pouring rain and you have to go and ride 6 hours in the mountains, there's no fun in doing that. So this is self-control is especially important in the life of a Christian. Self-control is necessary, as we can see by our text, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. It is necessary to overcoming the works of the flesh. So Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatreds, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of that which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Hold on, I need to see where I need to read to. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And then part of that too is a lot of Christian. We also get the indwelling of the Spirit is given to the Christian to aid us in these things. We'll see also in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Just for me, it was one page back. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And then also go Romans chapter 8. I'm already there. My fingers aren't working. Oof. All right, Romans chapter 8, start at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that is raised up by Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. So we get the aid of the Spirit, but this doesn't remove all the temptations or struggles we have. So if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Right. Okay, yeah, that's all I needed. So we must do things that seem difficult. And this takes the Holy Spirit, prayer, and, you know, study, and just living a Christian life, surrounding ourselves with Christian people. We must still do things even though we don't feel like it. Because I know we all have days where, where I didn't feel like coming to church, right? I'm tired. I stayed up too late. I'm tired from work. But we need to do the things we don't feel like because they're good for us. Self-control is a necessary complement to proper motivation. Without it, motivation alone, you will not succeed with motivation alone. Along with motivation and self-control, it is important to exercise. In the life of an athlete, the exercise performed by athletes is impressive. I used to get up When I made the junior varsity and then we practiced with the varsity, I used to get up. It was like 4 a.m. and then I had to walk all the way to the gym because my mom was like, I work in the next town. I'm not getting up earlier to take you to practice. So I had to walk all the way to the gym to practice from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. because it was considered our first period at school. So my first period was shower and breakfast, but we practiced for 3 hours. And that's what it took me to do. You know, I wanted to play. I didn't want to sit the bench. You know, long distance runners train a minimum typically of 10 to 20 miles a day. Most of us will be lucky if we walk a mile in a regular day. I mean, maybe if you do something on a work site or something where you're back and forth, but most, especially nowadays, most of us sit in a desk or, you know, it can be hard to get that kind of swimmers swim up to 10 miles a day. I couldn't imagine swimming a mile. I don't think I could. You know, gymnasts even at times during their peak seasons will do 8 to 9 hours of practice, of exercise, using, you know, practicing their jumps and stuff. So such exercise is essential. It's to be competitive, to endure the hardships of competition when you're giving it your all, and most importantly, to gain the victory. So in the life of a Christian, we too need to exercise. So there's a need for godly exercise. If you'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is a very common scripture. Chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So these types of exercises offer benefits now, but later, to what really matters. It gives us the promise for the life to come. So examples of good spiritual exercise is diligence in rightly handling the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, another very common scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to read the Bible. We need to study. We need to commune with the Lord in prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Where'd it go? Philippians, there we go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, I read the wrong verse. I'm sorry. That's for my next point. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I apologize. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then to meditate on the things of worthy of virtue and praise, right? Those things. And then loving the brethren with sincerity. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, we see, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And then we'll see offering diligent, fervent service to the Lord. And then right there in Romans chapter 12, just right down to verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope, patient in the tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. In conclusion, certainly one engaged in such exercises is a spiritual athlete. We're running the race of faith with certainty, you know, from our source, 1 Corinthians 9:26. We also fight the good fight with purpose. Such efforts won't be in vain when accompanied with the right motivations, when joined with self-control. Are you obtaining the prize? That's the challenge I give you today. Make sure that you heed Paul's words to so run that ye may obtain. And also take heart from the words found later in the same epistle, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.